Monsieur Linge au prix inadmissible. La fusillade, les balles qui sifflent, langage crypté, float 96. Enfant, je lisais Picsou parce qu'il nage dans le cash. Explorer le monde en vélo, je suivais le marchand de glace. Je ne peux plus suivre, juste diriger. Tu le sais, je suis un ancien comme Jimmy J. La montagne de l'excellence, je l'escalade vite. J'écris dans une grotte de glace, je fais fondre les stalactites. Respecté à la Max B, je fais tomber les masques vite. Non mon négro, j'écoute pas les rumeurs ou les askip. Je suis là pour les racks, je suis là pour les stacks. Il faut que je bombarde comme Sammy Nasseri dans taxi. Qu'il étude en face, qui ouais c'est sûrement fal. Un vrai négro à l'ancienne, je reçois des nudes sur mon fax. Où sont les autres, je suis de l'autre côté, ouais. Piscine de l'hôtel et je travaille mon dos crôlé, ouais. Massacreur, petit beau massacreur, garde tes jambes fermées. Massacreur, petit beau massacreur, garde tes jambes fermées, cette vie c'est un petit beau massacreur. Alhamdoulilah, on a deux bras, deux jambes. On avance à 2 ans. On n'est pas au même point qu'il y a 2 ans. Pour que ça tienne, faut des bonnes bases. Sinon, ça sera direct montage, démontage. Monte l'empire comme démontage. Je vois le magot qui court, je vois ton radeau qui coule. Toujours ce bon vieux fal avec le ralflo qui coûte. Rapper, faire que des clés de bras, aucun geste câlin. Mental vietnamien, j'ai montré comment on lave avec la main. C'est l'homme qui a peur, sinon y'a rien. On arrive bien maffé, bien tiède, avec jus de tamarin. Rap d'acteur, blablateur, comme un rabatteur. Petit vendeur de coke font moins d'argent que 3 hackers. Dans le labo jusqu'à pas d'heure, on fuit à l'aube. Location de Viano, 99 en puff à Triano.
And more jealous, a chip you for designer. Belt buckles and cloud overzealous and prone to violence. Make the wrong turn, be your will of the will alignment. Residue burn, missed at the inner city. Miscommunication to keep homo detector busy. No protection is risky. Desensitized, I vandalize pain. Covered up and camouflage. Get used to hearing arsenal rain. Analyze, risk your life, take the charge. Homies, don't fuck your baby mama once you hit the yard. That's culture. 23-hour lockdown. Then somebody calls, said your little nephew was shot down. The culture's involved. I done seen niggas do 17, hit the halfway house. Get out and get his brains blown out. Looking to buy some weed, car washes played out. New GoFundMe accounts will proceed. A brand new victim will shatter those dreams. The culture. I know what a nigga look like in a bulletproof rover. In my mama's sofa was a doodle popper, hair trigger, walk up closer. Ain't no photoshopping, friends bipolar. Grab you by your pockets, no option if you froze up. I always play the offense. Niggas going to work and selling work, late for work. Working late, praying for work, but he on paperwork. That's the culture, point the finger, promote ya. Remote location, witness protection, they gon' hold ya. The streets got me fucked up, y'all can miss me. I wanna represent for us. New revolution was up and moving. I'm in Argentina wiping my tears, full of confusion. Water in between us, another peer's been executed. History repeats again, make amends, then find a nigga with the same skin to do it. But that's the culture, crack a bottle. Hard to deal with the pain when you're sober. By tomorrow, we forget the remains, we start over. That's the problem, our foundation was trained to accept whatever follows.
dehumanized and sensitive, scrutinized the way we live for you and I. Enemy shook my hand, I can promise I'll meet you in a land where no equal is your equal. Never say I ain't told ya. Nah, in a land where hurt people hurt more people. Fuck calling it culture.
I want the hood. Look what I done for you. Look what I done for you. Take the drums out.
Celebrate new life when it come back around. The purpose is in the lessons we learning now. Sacrifice personal gain over everything just to see the next generation better than ours. I wasn't perfect, the skin I was in, I truly suffered. Temptation and patience, everything that the body nurtures. I felt the good, I felt the bad, and I felt the worry. But all in all, my productivity has stayed urgent. Face your fears, always knew that I would make it here. Where the energy is magnified and persevered. Consciousness is synchronized and crystal clear. Euphoria is glorified and made his. Reflecting on my life and what I done. Paid dues, made rules change out of love. Them same views made schools change curriculums. But didn't change me staring down the barrel of that gun. Should I feel resentful? I didn't see my full potential. Should I feel regret about the good that I was into? Everything is everything, this ain't coincidental. I woke up that morning with more heart to give you. As I bleed through the speakers, feel my presence. To my brother, to my kids, I'm in heaven. To my mother, to my sis, I'm in heaven. To my father, to my wife, I am serious, this is heaven. To my friends, make sure you count them blessings. To my fans, make sure you make them investments. And to the killer that spared up my demise, I forgive you, just know your soul's in question. I seen the pain in your pupil when that trigger had squeezed. And though you did me gruesome, I was surely relieved. I completed my mission, wasn't ready to leave. But fulfilled my days, my creator was pleased. I can't stress how I love y'all. I don't need to be in flesh just to hug y'all. The memories recollect just because y'all. Celebrate me with respect, the unity we protect is above all. And Sam, I'll be watching over you. Make sure my kids watch all my interviews. Make sure you live out our dreams we produce. Keep that genius in your brain on the move. And to my neighborhood, let the good prevail. Make sure them babies and the leaders out of jail. Look for salvation when troubles get real. Cause you can't help the world until you help yourself. And I can't blame the hood the day that I was killed.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Nectar Island. So Christian here with Rafa as our regular co-host. The guru Shawat is still absent somewhere
at the seas, right?
Yeah, right. I think he's sailing somewhere near Lisbon. And yeah, so the songs we just came in with were French song 99 en Puff by Kyo Itachi and Alpha One, and then The Hard Part 5 by Kendrick Lamar. And yeah, so me and Rafa, we've got two exciting guests on the show today. So Jonathan and Natasha Murphy. And yeah, they're the director and producer, respectively, of indie feature thriller called My One and Only, which will premiere at the Barnes Film Festival later this month. And I'll hand over to Rafa.
Yeah, well, it's so good to be here again, like Nectar Island, and to be here with special guests. I think they are on the line with us. Natasha, Jonathan, can you hear us?
Hi, here we are. Yes, hello. Hello, hello. Rafa.
Hello.
It was such a pleasure to have you here with us and to talk a little bit more about the My One and Only that's going to have its world premiere in the end of the month at Barnes Film Festival. And just like, can I kick started?
Let's get going.
I just have a question. Is that like I know this movie is based on a play by Don King, a radio play. I want to hear from Jonathan first. Like what attracted you in the play that make you like want to make it a feature film? Like what was like your first contact with the play?
So I was looking for something to shoot that was achievable for someone that had never shot a feature film before and was shooting it basically with their own resources. So I'm a great fan of listening to all of the plays on Radio 4 in the afternoon. Most weeks they have quite a few plays and they are absolutely fantastic. And I've been listening to them for ages and I've been looking at other scripts and things. And this one called My One and Only came on and I was sort of taken by it immediately. Because the it just has a kind of immediacy and a kind of something that everyone can find a bit of some of the characters, either as someone they know or a little bit of something has happened to them that you go, oh, hang on a minute, yeah, someone had done that to me, or, oh, yes, actually, my friend, someone did that. And the as the radio play, the entire radio play took place on the telephone. So the whole concept was none of the people were ever actually together and everything in the action that went on was always separated. I thought it was quite intriguing because it hasn't really, I did some research and didn't find any other films that have been done in quite the same way. In as much as the actors, a lot of the actors acting, they never actually even met each other, yet they are playing scenes together. So I thought that was very interesting to do, to try and do that all together. And one of the other things was it was very, very achievable in terms of its ease of shooting, that it didn't have sort of helicopters and cars exploding and, you know, lots of fire and danger and expensive things in it. So it's a relatively contained shoot. And I thought if I could find some really good actors, it would make a very interesting piece, which I think it is. Not, I have to say, down to me. It's down to the great writing of Dawn King, who is a very, very clever writer.
And yeah, is it just? I'm just curious because often when films are adapted from plays, it's the transition is quite difficult because the way people speak in plays and films are quite different. Did you have to change the dialogue a lot?
No, in fact, sometimes, not a lot, to be absolutely honest with you. The dialogue was quite snappy. What happens in radio plays is sometimes they'll have things that they'll put in things to explain that obviously I don't need to do because you're seeing it. But the general feel of the piece is pretty true to the original. I didn't really need to the thing that I had to change the most, I'd say, is I first heard this play. It first went out in 2012. Yeah. And we shot a version of this film in Brazil in Portuguese in 2015. And in that time, technology had moved on so much that it wasn't really applicable just for people to be phoning each other. So we added in texts and a few other things. Then making the English version, obviously technology had moved on again. So we're now into the role of using apps, using social media, using videos, using all kinds of things that are now available. So the script was adapted and updated as we go along. And if we were to make it again in another 5 years, it'd probably have to have something else.
It would probably be in the metaverse in Poland.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't know quite yet what it is going to be. So,
So that's the one thing that's very interesting about this movie as well, that you shot it twice, right? Like one version in Portuguese and then released in Brazil. And then you came here and shot the same script, but with different actors, different crew. And I just wonder, like, why? why have you done it twice? Like,
I have been asking myself that question. No, well, it's very difficult. We were in a very lucky position to shoot it in Brazil because we had a production company. We had, it was quite easy for us to shoot in the city where we shot it, to shoot it very inexpensively. And the result was pretty good in the end. You know, it sold and it went on Canal Brasil, which is the sort of their version, Brazilian version of a sort of arty Netflix thing. And they bought it as soon as it was released, which was great for us. And when we came here, the it's very difficult to make your first feature film and in English that would be taken seriously. And I started looking around for other things. And then someone suggested it. Some people that had actually seen the Portuguese-Brazilian version said, well, why don't you do that? And I never really thought about it and thought, well, yeah, why not? Because it is, it's interesting actually watching the two films side by side. Even though they're the same, they are very different films because you have the much more Latin temperament in the Brazilian ones. It's all much more sort of shouty and people, you know, being much more sort of flamboyant and big. And the English one is much more sort of reserved and introspective, I describe it. So they are, even though they're the same, they are very different beasts. So that's a sort of why, if that explains, if that is an explanation.
No, that's true. Like I have seen both versions and they are different. And I'm curious about your relationship with the actors because the first, so your first feature that you have made as a director was in Brazil and you had to direct, I guess in Portuguese. And and how have you dealt with that? Like what were the differences in like, in directing it in your mother language and in Portuguese, there were any difference or?
No, well, not really, because the script was so quite tight. I knew, you know, sometimes if they were going off piste a bit and using words and slang that I didn't really understand, I'd have to say what was going on there. But most of the time it wasn't that different, to be honest, because a lot of the time, you know, when you're making films and shooting stuff, you have an idea in your head of how you want it to be. And if the actors aren't doing it that way, you say, okay, now can you, you know, try and do it this way. But I have to say, you know, we've been very, very lucky and we didn't have to sit there doing 800 takes for the majority of it. There was some people that were better and the worst, but not in the English one, of course, I'm not talking about now. So.
Oh, okay.
So obviously it's much easier for me in English, even though I speak Portuguese. The subtleties of it I can understand much better in English.
What about the production side? Because like Natasha, then like I guess this question is more to you in a sense of like was it easier or more difficult to shot here in UK or in Brazil, or they have like different challenges?
Well, of course, the first one, I think, was a little bit more challenged because it was the first one. So in the first one, it's a little bit like build a house. You know how to start, but never know how it's going to end. And so in the second one, we have a little bit more idea how everything is going to, the product, the final product, how we want to look like, and we know what to achieve and how to produce everything. So the second one was although it was in English and was in England, was my first English produce as well, English film produce, was easy, I think. Yeah, I think I knew exactly what I was doing, what we need to find and to improve things that didn't work in the first one. So locations that we knew didn't work very well, how could we improve that and get a little bit better? So yeah, we have a little bit better sights what to do in the second one than was in the first one.
Was the second one shot during COVID?
We finished it just before.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have all that stuff. Okay, cool.
No. We are very, very lucky. We finished it like 2-3 weeks before COVID started. So, we were fine, clear.
Then
we have all the COVID time to process the film and edit and post-production. So it was quite good for us in a certain way.
Yeah, and I know that the first film, the Portuguese version, was successful in festivals and then was sold to a broadcaster in Brazil, to a Brazilian television. And what about the second one? Because we know that My One and Only is going to have his world premiere like in Barnes Film Festival in the end of June. But are you thinking about what are you thinking about, like, distribution? The distribution side, streaming, yeah, or
the process, that is something that we are learning as well. The first process in Brazil, I really knew how it was and how to distribute the film and all the process, how should we do. So we are very lucky. We sold the film even before the film was completely finished. And yeah, it was quite straightforward. And this one now, we are learning as we go. And it's in English. We have much more opportunities, but the market is much bigger as well. So we have already a distributor. We have some options of distributors, and most is in stream. And we go in festivals now. So we will try to go in a little bit more festivals and see how they go. And our ambition is the film. We made the film for TV, so the idea is to sell for some TV channel. So let's see how this is going.
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, we're not delusional and say, well, this is, you know, going to kick Maverick Top Gun off the top of the tree, because it is, you know, it's I call it a peculiar film. It's not a straightforward normal film. It is obviously independent and a little bit there's some twists and turns in it, and it does get a bit dark, but it's interesting. Having shot it and then watched it in a cinema, it's amazing how things can come across much more. It's much more intimate watching a film like that in the cinema. So I think there is definitely a presence for it, and certainly we could have a short art house distribution if anyone wants to. It's also quite short, the film. It's at 79 minutes. So maybe it can pair up with something and we'll get a limited art distribution. It just depends. Some people love it when they see it, some people don't like it at all. It's quite a one way or the other sort
of
film.
That's good, really. As long as people aren't indifferent, that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's not a classic festival film either. You know, it is a little bit commercial.
It's a very clear film. It's not like a crazy art film that you get out of the film and you say, what's happened? That's the kind of film festivals like. So we are not tangible that experience. So I think we have to just try to go in some festivals, and we have the idea to be in a short circuit in a theater as well. So we're looking for that as well. So it's good for it can go a little bit in a big screen, and it's beautiful picture, so it's nice, and we can have a few days in the theater and then have a little career, go to the TV, and then end up in a stream.
Yeah, sure. I know Jonathan mentioned that you have like this kind of like strange situation in a film that people are talking to their phones mainly. Like, so the characters are not interacting between each other, but. how was it like for you and for the actors to work like that? Because like usually it's like a game of tennis, right? Like when you're acting, you kind of like give something and then you get something back.
Exactly. That was a very interesting process, actually. You just reminded me about it now. To be honest, I didn't know how we were going to do it when we started. I originally had thought it would be better to have the actor, and we tried to schedule it that we'd have the actor that particular person was talking to there to do the live lines, but then that just wasn't working out for practical reasons, for money reasons. So then I thought, well, I'll record them and play it back in between when they for the line for them to copy up, but of course that didn't work either. So what we do is we had an actor who would speak the other part, who wasn't the actual actor who ended up by doing it in the film. Mm-hmm. But the great advantage of that is that I could manipulate what that actor was saying much more easily than if it was the other actor, because actors quite often will go away and work on a scene together, and they can sometimes get it so firmly fixed, mm-hmm. the way that they're working, it's quite difficult to break that if you don't want it done in a certain way. So having a lot of power to move one of the one of the parts around actually was a great help, and we sort of stumbled across this by accident. I mean, some of the actors in the film actually didn't meet. Some of them haven't met. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
think.
No. It was a student actor, so he was quite eager to do the role very nice, and he could do lots of roles with us. So he was the only one really has the contact with the real actor. Mm-hmm. So he was the only person meet all the actors around the film. So it was quite interesting, the process, and worked very well. You never know that you don't have the feedback of the other actor interacting in the scene. So it was
and
very
to, and to be honest, before I actually cut the first, when we did the Brazilian film, mm-hmm. before I cut it together and actually had some whole scenes with the actors on either side, I didn't know that it was going to work. I mean, it could have just all gone horribly wrong, and we just have lots of soliloquies going on that would have been a very interesting film.
I think we never know, right? Like when we start a project, like every project has its own challenges.
It's interesting talking to people who've watched the film, because when you tell them, explain the fact that no one's really together, they all go, oh, God. And then after you watch it, after about the first, two or three or four minutes, you just forget the fact, because these days it's interesting. So much of our lives takes place over the telephone on Zoom and whatever. That it is actually a very natural thing for people to have relationships over the electronic media. So, it could have gone horribly wrong, but it didn't. Thank goodness.
So when you said that you'd sorted out this method with the student actor and everything, that was already that already worked for the Brazilian version, and that was it was exactly the same method for the English version.
Yes, we got an actor friend of mine to come and read all of the lines from here. So yeah,
cool.
So and that really did work really well. And what would happen is he acted like a sort of repetitor, would go off and work on the scenes with the actor, so that they had it together, backwards and forwards. And it's very good also because it gave us we can make sure that we had the correct cutting points. Because technically it's quite tricky to put it all back together again. So, it worked well. It worked well.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I think that's a good. I have seen both versions, so I think I'm spoiled. I don't spoil anything, but as you said before, that's a common theme that of love, obsession, and stalking, and not really knowing a person, I think that's even like trendy right now in a way. Like if you see like Netflix series about relationships, about love triangles, I think you can capitalize on that. I'm thinking that you have kind of maybe hit something that it's actually nowadays is really trendy and really hype in a way.
Well, they do. I mean, that was the thing, and that's what's so interesting about the fact that it was written so long ago. The original radio play was written so long ago, and we haven't said, but basically it's about a stalker, ostensibly it's about a stalker, who this lady who's the protagonist of the film, who's played in the English film by Melissa Woodbridge, who is excellent. She is going out with a married man, and he doesn't really want to go out with her anymore. So she goes out on an internet date with a guy she meets on an app, and this guy then starts stalking her. That's the basic premise of the film. Mm. But meanwhile, all kinds of other things happen, and it sort of descends into lots of different things going on. But actually, one thing I sort of say also, Raph, that I just suddenly thought of then, the guy who, Simon Slater is the actor who plays the husband, Ben, who she was having an affair with. He also he's a jobbing actor and has been working for many, many years. But he also is his main job is as a composer. Okay. And one of the great things about the lockdown was meant that he had time on his hands and he was able to do us a magnificent score for the film, which was, you know, 100% ours and 100% scored for the film, which I've never had done, obviously, because it's just my second film. But that is an extraordinary thing. And it really makes such a difference to have music written specifically for your film that fits it exactly. So he not only is he in it, but he is the composer too.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, in the first film we got the music from Universal, and we have to adapt a little bit. The music worked quite well, but then we saw the difference in the second one, and yeah, it's making a huge difference in impact with each scene. So we can see the film really forward with the music as well. So it was very interesting.
Okay, great. Well, speaking of music, I think we'll have a music break, play a song, and then continue our conversation. So I'm going to play the song Wave Decay by Go-Go Penguin. Hello, hello. This is Nectar Island, Christian and Rafa. We're still on air with Jonathan and Natasha Murphy. And yeah, we'll continue our conversation with them. I just wanted to know, since you said you were you finished shooting this during the pandemic and have now completed and this film is premiering now, do you already have any new projects in the pipeline that you can talk of that aren't top secret?
No, there's many many different projects in many different stages.
Hands in the fire.
Of all trying to get money. I mean, we have been really concentrating on this,
of course,
very much. But there's, I mean, it's trying to find something that is interesting now, because everything takes so long to get finance. You know, this film that we've made, was independently financed. We had, a few backers, and we put some money in ourselves. And it wasn't a hugely, hugely expensive film to make. But our next one, we'd go on to get, someone else to pay for it, basically. So it means it needs to be something that is in vogue. And so it's finding scripts that are appropriate, the things that are being looked for by the broadcasters to try and put a package together. Quite a few. We lived down on the South Coast, and we got a couple of projects, which is where we shot the film, actually, my one and only. Most of it was shot in the southeast of England. And we have a couple of projects that we're working on that are to do with some of the subjects and issues that go on down here that we think are very sort of now, and that we're working towards. And hopefully, it's getting people and getting people involved at an early enough stage so that they feel like they're involved in the project, so they can have ownership. And that really helps get, all my friends that make movies, it's a huge process of getting bits of money from here, bits of stuff from there, bits of support from there. So it's a huge jigsaw puzzle. And it seems to be sometimes that making the film is probably the easiest part of the whole of the whole thing. And it's all the other bits that take up all the time and give you a lot of the headaches. But lots of different things. Yeah, we've across many different genres as well. It's very exciting. We got lots hopefully to be going on in the next year or so.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
And do you think about doing co-production again, or from now on only in English, or it depends on the project?
No, now we are absolutely open to co-production. We are receiving some scripts, and we just come back from Cannes and make lots of new contacts with new production companies. And of course, because my expertise in Brazil, so we are trying now to make a little bit more solidate the co-production between Brazil and UK that being approved a few years ago. But I think just one project really happened between Brazil and UK. So we will try now to see if we can develop more products with co-production in Brazil as well.
And you mentioned something about genres, that you have like a scope of things that you want to work, because my one and only is an indie thriller. Would you like to keep going the same direction, or maybe do something else? I think the question is for you both, like Jonathan and Natasha.
Well, it's the thing that interests me. They're the sort of films that I really like, and I gravitate towards them. And a couple of the scripts that I have moving forward that I'm very involved with are in that style. Having said that, I do actually have two or three other projects that are different, but I have different involvement, more as a producer. One of them I've been writing for the last 3 years with a friend of mine, which is actually a comedy, and he's a comedy director. But the thriller style, for me to direct, that's the sort of thing that I like very much. Something, the darker, the better, I say. Oh, yeah. The darker, the better.
Well, I am at the moment with two co-productions and one development project. For the first time, the genre of terror and horror film that I never worked before. So I'm in a post-production with this project. And in developing, I have a documentary doing well. So we are in this. And I have a few other projects in the documentaries and the features as well. So we have a little bit of everything going on. And of course, through the company now, we can open with the directors as well. So we can do all the genders if Jonta doesn't really like it or is not his style. Mm. So we can have someone on board for directing that project, especially.
So what's the name of the company?
Sorry?
What's the name of your company?
Union Content.
Okay.
And I think that's the way it goes, right? Like you never know which film will be the next one because you have like you need to have a lot of projects and sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's like spinning plates. It's you know, I've watched from afar. My background is in TV commercials. That's what I did for 20 odd years, and all of our companies that we had were always associated with film and television companies, and so we were all in the same office. And I'd watch all of my friends that I'd worked with doing commercials that were doing movies as well, and they'd all have various movies, you know, some of them that would take, you know, straight away, as soon as the script came out, they'd be off doing it. Other ones they'd been doing for 15 years, you know, trying to get it here, trying to get the rights. Something goes wrong, it comes back. And that's just lots and lots and lots of projects and, you know, things that you really like. And you've got to sell them because there's an awful lot of people out there selling. All have got scripts. I mean, there's an amazing amount of films around at the moment. I don't know whether it was the sort of lockdown with no one had anything to do, so everyone was just editing away.
Yeah.
But there do seem to be there's a lot of films out there at the moment. So, but yeah, I think it's lots of plate spinning really, and hoping to come across the style of what's going to be in, you know, 4 or 5 years. I remember about 10 years ago, suddenly there wasn't a film about Napoleon for 20 years. And then 1 year there were like five. It just all came out at the same time. And apparently it's a coincidence, but, you know, it's...
Did you have a Napoleon project as well?
No. We said Napoleon's been done now, so...
No, I think the key thing it is you have to get in contact with projects that you really fall in love because you've been with the project for so long that you have to like this project in one way or another. Otherwise, it's really painful. So we're trying to just find projects that really thrive us and make us want to do the project independent of the time that we'll be put on the project. So I think that is the key to find something that you really, really like to do.
Excellent. Well, on that note, I think, our time is almost up here on Nectar Island. So, thanks a lot, Jonathan and Natasha. Do you have any, do you have anything you want to plug when exactly is it screening?
It's on the screen. So we're finalists in the Barnes Film Festival, which... is from the, I think it's 16th to the 22nd, and there's many, many, many different events going on. But our film is on the 20th at 7:30 at the OSO, which is the old sorting office, which is right next to Barnes, and Barnes Pond in Barnes.
And Rafa was telling me that tickets are going fast, so people should buy them quick.
Yes, apparently. Yeah, I'm going to actually go off straight away now because I and reserve some seats so I can sit in there.
Really. Okay, well.
So, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks, Jonathan and Natasha. And we'll go and play some music and then we'll be right back.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Very nice talking to you guys. Bye.
Cheerio.
Você não vai conseguir nada, mano. Se é esse sonho aí de cantar rap aí, você não vai conseguir nada. Dá mó vergonha pra mãe dele, pro pai dele, entendeu? Zé Bovim, quem? Ah, ele gravou, é? Porra, conheceu de Miliano, ó.
Isso é um pesadelo, onde a morte se aproxima. Tudo que te leva à depressão, à quase morte, o rap salva.
rap é um mundo. Esperança.
Ai, meu pai, não sei, você também. Pois quem corre atrás vai, que os moleque vai. Desde ser é um soldado do medo, eu sei. Na cinta pra carregar uma falsa ilusão. De ouro, cordão, prata, carro, moto, um dinheiro bom. Ser um herói, quem não quer ser pra mãe? Motivo de sorrir. É de pequeno no prezinho, com papel crepom. Dia dos pais, não tem mais alguém se foi. Na construção civil, quem quer saber? Filho de preto e favelado chão. O que sobrar pra nós é ser melhor, bem melhor, mais melhor. Tipo um doce, uma coisa, um chocolate, uma pedra rara. Pra desabafar. Me leva aos confins do mundo pra dizer que só o amor pode te afastar do canhão. De um 12, de um tiro, de uma arma, de uma desilusão. Quem sofre, pai, eu sei, abra seu coração. Aqui quem fala é um sobrevivente, pai. A música vem e me traz emoção. Milagre divino, Senhor. Na biqueira eu não vou, vários irmãos morrer em vão. Alimentação de onde eu vim, pro senhor ver é ilusão. Acorda, irmão. Tecnologia vem e tá na tua mão pra dizer que a cada dia que passa você é nada. Nada, nada, nada pro sistema, pai. E as quadradas vão chegar e o pó vai correr. E os moleque tem que abastecer. Levar dinheiro pra casa se a vida é nada. O que sobrar pra nós é ser melhor. Bem melhor, mais melhor. Tipo um doce, uma coisa, um chocolate e uma pedra rara. Pra desabafar, meu rap vai me levar aos confins do mundo pra dizer que só o amor pode te afastar do canhão. De um 12, de um tiro, de uma arma, de uma desilusão. Quem sofre, pai, eu sei, abra seu coração. Aqui quem fala é um sobrevivente, pai. A música vem e me traz emoção. Um milagre divino, Senhor. Na biqueira eu não vou, vários irmãos morrer em vão.
To sing, if my mother cries in sorrow, will you help her with the many things that she needs from time to time and day to day? So if I die tomorrow, will you know exactly what to say today? Thank you. if I die tomorrow, will you let me know I left in peace? I begged and I borrowed everybody's love, and they gave for free. And I wish that I could give it back to them. So if I die tomorrow, will you give them all the love they lend?
Hello, hello. This is Nectar Island. So me and Christian and Rafa. So that was a great show, and I thought that was a very interesting conversation. And yeah, the tracks we just played were Diario do Caos by Criollo and Trop Killers, and then If I Die Tomorrow by Jack White. So we're going to leave you guys with one track requested by our guru sailing around Lisbon, around Portugal at the moment, the world maybe, Shawat. And it's You Get Lost in It by Carrie Chandler and Lady Lynn. And yeah, then we'll it'll hopefully flow seamlessly into From Hill's Head to Harlesden. And yeah, they've got great tunes in store for us. So yeah, Rafa,
cool. How's it going? Cool. Well, it was good. It was good. Like, see you next time. E boa viagem pro Schwartz. Have a nice sailing trip.
All right.
We're still here.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.